For this morning's public reading of God's inspired word, we pray, we would ask you to turn to Luke chapter 9 once again. We're going to be reading verses 51 to 56 here this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 51 to 56. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messages before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Amen. Please be seated. Look at verse 55. Jesus turns to James and John in their expression of zeal without too much knowledge. When they said, shall we not simply command fire to come down? Isn't it amazing the presumption on the part of James and John? Now, once again, you can laugh at it or you can be critical, you can be judgmental. But when you look at James and John at this point in their life with the Master, we're not excusing what they said, but I think you got to be a little bit lenient. Beloved, they didn't know all that was going on. This is a good example that even the 12, okay, the time that they spent with Jesus, I mean, face to face, they ate with him, slept with him, prayed with him, cried with him, ministered with him, saw all of his mighty miracles. And even when he was telling them about him going to the cross and dying and being buried and coming back 3 days and three nights later, even Peter rebuked him in Matthew 16 and said, oh, not so, can't be, can't be. And Jesus' response was, get behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things of God, but the things of men, referring to Satan. And here, James and John, you got to give them a little bit of credit. You know, the Samaritans apparently, they were not too kind to Jesus. They didn't welcome him into their cities as he was going like a flint there to Jerusalem. Jesus had a date with destiny, and that was the cross. But in verse 55, he turns to them and he rebukes them and says, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are, or ye are of. You know, it's so sad. That verse is missing in some English translations. So it basically would read, but he turned and rebuked them and said, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Yeah, that verse 56, in a red letter edition, like say mine is, that phrase in verse 55 has either been removed or it's placed at the bottom as a footnote, saying that the best and the earliest manuscripts do not contain the passage. I would contend that the older and more perverted Greek manuscripts have removed it. Jesus was basically telling them, you don't know what type of an attitude you have right now. Okay? They thought they were going to hit a home run with Jesus. According to Jesus, they struck out on this occasion. Well, he not call them on another occasion the sons of thunder? Right? So James and John apparently were a couple of hotheads. They were hotheads. Peter was always guilty of speaking before his brain got into gear. James and John, man, call down fire. You know, zap them with a bolt. Be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Vaporize them. They were hot-headed. And yet, John, in time, as he matured, is called what? He was the apostle of love. Isn't the word love permeate his gospel and his epistles? Huh? He loved us because we love him because he first loved us. Well, we begin reading there in verse 51. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. So notice in Luke's gospel, the ascension of Christ was something that was either made known to the apostles, but they just didn't get it. Or since Luke wrote all of this after the fact, after the passion, after the burial, after the resurrection, after the ascension, and when he hooks up with the apostle Paul during Paul's second journey, and Luke is then told all of the events of the life of Christ, especially that passion week, if you will, Luke lets us know that Luke understood Jesus was to go back to the Father. So the ascension, beloved, is not a man-made doctrine, but it was something that the disciples knew because they were there. Acts chapter 1. Okay? And notice also, his hour has now come. Many times you read, especially in John's gospel, you will find the phrase, the reason why Jesus was able to escape a premature death at the hands of his own brothers and sisters of the faith, Jewish faith that is, it wasn't his hour, it wasn't his time. Now at this point, Jesus has a date with destiny, and that was the cross. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So nothing was going to hinder Jesus. Nothing was going to halt his progress. No speed bumps, no potholes, no barriers, no walls, no armies, no devils, no demons were going to halt Jesus' date with destiny. And he sent messages before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. So Jesus there is making ready, probably getting things ready for the Passover meal that he would eat with his disciples, and then make that transition into the Lord's Supper, which we practice today. And so as he's going through the villages and the cities and towns of Samaria, for whatever reason, it seemed that they didn't want to bother with him. They didn't want him near them. They didn't want to hear anything he had to say. But Jesus was just, he just kept on going, passing one village after another. And they, in turn, had their hands extended like, we don't want you. We don't want to hear nothing. And he kept going straight south towards Jerusalem. And that precipitated James and John in their zeal without knowledge when the Samaritans seemed to turn their back on Jesus, if you will. And then verse 56, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. Why is that? Well, beloved, in Adam, we're already destroyed. We're dead in sin. We're strangers and foreigners to the commonwealth of the true Israel. We are rebels. We are the enemies of God. We are felons. We are murderers, thieves, crooks, robbers, extortioners, kidnappers, idol worshippers, witchcraft, things of that nature. We're already damaged. So Jesus didn't come to add to our destruction. We're already destroyed in Adam in that sense. But to save them. And they went to another village. So, beloved, if anybody needs a mission statement for the Lord Jesus, it would be verse 56. That's his mission statement. And so, by application, is that not also the mission statement of a church? We're not out to destroy people. Why? They're already corrupt. They don't need any more corruption. So what is the church's responsibility? What is our mission statement? To evangelize the nations. To bring good news. To herald a message of hope and everlasting life. Not to destroy men, but to bring them to Christ, who in turn saves them. Well, may God be pleased to bless his word. Amen.